Now it's time for Paul's in Politics with the Boston Herald's Dave Wedge on Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD.
Yeah, I was just trying to say, and until Larry hit the cue, Dynamite Dave Wedge is scheduled to be joining us, and entering the room via phone is Dave. Dave, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Kevin?
Dude, we're doing pretty good. We're rocking and rolling here, brother.
Feels like a Monday night because I hear my intro music. It's great.
Can I extend the congratulations over the air? Am I allowed to do that?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, me and my wife, Jessica, just had our son. We had him on Friday, came on Good Friday.
I have to say.
I'm sitting in the lounge at Mass General Hospital right now.
Congratulations to you.
Thank
and
you.
Jessica. Have we chosen a name?
We have not. That's still we're still haggling over that. But we're getting out of here tomorrow. So by the time we leave, we have to agree and sign the birth certificate. So we got some things in mind, but we're going back and forth.
Okay. I can't put in a request for a Dave Jr.
No, that's been talked about, but I don't want to curse the kid with that.
Well, you know what you could do though, Dave. It could be a Dave with a different middle name too.
That's true. You could do that. Yeah.
Kevin, I thought you were going to suggest Kevin, and I was going
to
say,
why would I want to torment?
Don't do that.
That
I was just going to say, don't do that. Don't ever call it Kevin.
he's doing great though, and Jessica, you know, for the listeners that don't know, my wife is, you know, Jessica Haslam. She's also a columnist at the Herald, and she's doing great. So everything's good, and it's been a great weekend, and you know, we're very blessed. So.
Well,
Thank you, Kevin.
I'm very, very, very happy, and I'm glad to see that there's a new addition. And speaking of new additions, it looks as though come this fall, you might be talking about a new mayor for the city of Boston, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a whirlwind week for me, but, you know, with this this all happened, and this announcement from Mayor Menino came down on, I sat down with him on Wednesday. Then he made his announcement on Thursday, and then we were in the hospital here having the baby on Friday. So, you know, being the Herald's City Hall reporter, it wasn't exactly the best timing for me. But, hey, you know, you go when you go. And, you know, it's crazy, but it's going to be, you know, this is going to be an exciting summer to cover politics in Boston. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and I don't think I've seen a race that's going to be anything like this.
I have to ask you, have you had a chance to ask the mayor what led him to, because you and I talked, I want to say maybe a month and a half ago, and
yep.
We kind of felt that maybe he was just starting to come into better health, and that he was going to start making plans for a run for his sixth term.
Well, I think that was his plan. I think that, you know, I don't think this was his master plan to just make this announcement and go away. I think he wanted to run, and I think he wishes he could, but I think over the past 6 months, I think what he's learned is that his health problems are, while he might feel better, as he says, than he did, I think it's clear that, you know, he says he can do a mayor's schedule, but not a Menino schedule, and that's very telling because, you know, a normal mayor does about a quarter to a half of what Mayor Menino does. I mean, I've been following this guy around for 14 years, And basically he's at 5, 6, 7, 8 events every day. And, you know, the thought of him campaigning against, you know, John Connolly in the dead of heat of this summer, 80-degree heat, going to 5, 6, 7 events, that's not very reasonable for someone that's, dealing with the health issues he's dealing with. It's not good for him.
Dave, you know, the mayor has been in office now for 20 years. What do you think his number one achievement as mayor is, or has been?
I think it'll end up, his legacy will be the seaport.
I agree.
You know, that was a, you know, that place was a literal wasteland. I mean, Kevin knows I'm a big music fan, and I used to go down there to the channel, the old channel that's, you know, long gone now. You know, now it's, you know, million-dollar condos, but when you would go to the channel, it was literally an industrial wasteland, and you were scared when you left that, you know, you were going to get jumped by roving road warrior style gangs of thugs coming across the dirt parking lot. And now, you know, you look at it, it's the most one of the most desirable places, literally on the East Coast, to live right now.
You know, it's fascinating because, you know, we saw the mayor also try to bring one of the tallest buildings in the country to the city as well before the economic downturn. And while that failed because not for any reason other than the economy at the time, you know, it really kind of shows him his goal at bringing the city into the 21st century.
Yeah, you know, I think the Dudley Square project is a big piece for him, too. I mean, that's a, you know, a lot of people like to think of the mayor as, you know, this downtown mayor, but he really is. He's the neighborhood mayor, you know. You know, he has this reputation of being the urban mechanic, but he really cares about each neighborhood. And anyone that lives in the city or spends as much time in the city as the mayor does knows that, you know, Boston is filled with very vibrant neighborhoods. There's a lot of different places, you know, from JP to, you know, Mattapan Square to Dudley Square to, you know, the North End and all around. And I think he's really focused on building up some of these underserved areas. And Dudley Square is an example of that. And, you know, over where I live in, you know, I live over in Savin Hill and up the street, Upham's Corner. You know, you wouldn't have walked around Upham's Corner, you know, 15 years ago. And now it's, you know, there's a lot going on over there. There's some nice little bars and restaurants and there's housing going up. And, you know, while he can't take full responsibility for all this stuff, he certainly directed resources towards some of these areas that needed a helping hand, and it's worked.
One of the things in today's Boston Herald is the mayor has promised that he's not walking out of office early, but the other thing is that he wants the candidates to remain positive in their race for this office. Give us your thoughts on his comments about, hey, don't trash my city.
Yeah, I think that those words should be heeded by the candidates, but I don't think anyone would anyway. I mean, these people that are talking about running, you know, city councils like, you know, John Connolly, Rob Consalvo, you know, Felix Arroyo, and Tito Jackson, on to guys like Marty Walsh and Dan Connolly. And these people love the city. You know, they live in the city. They're not going to trash the city. They may trash each other. But, you know, the mayor's out, so there's no reason to trash what's going on in the city. You know, John Connolly, honestly, a big burden and a big weight has been lifted off his shoulders by the mayor walking away, because now he doesn't have to put the city on trial. And a lot of people that live in the city, they like it. You know, I live in the city. I think it's a nice city. They do a good job. It's a lot better than Detroit and most other cities, you know. And, you know, something's wrong in your neighborhood, you call City Hall, it gets done. So I think these candidates really need to focus on what's next for Boston. You know, how can we make a great city even better? How can we harness all this brain power in the city and make the city just, you know, that much more vibrant, that much more innovative? And, you know, whoever can come up with those answers, you know, create more middle-class housing, you know, make the schools a little better, you know, connect the neighborhoods a little better so that it's, you know, it doesn't seem like going from Mattapan to East Boston is like going from, you know, Portsmouth, New Hampshire to Providence. You know, any candidate that can do some things like that or express some ideas like that, I think has the best shot at winning.
Well, Dave, I was just going to ask, who do you think would be considered a front runner in this race?
Connolly.
Well, I think you know, just given the nature of what's happened, you got to look at John Connolly as one of the front runners right now. You know, he's raising a ton of dough. He raised $85,000 since he's announced. He's got almost $400,000 in the bank. He's a Harvard guy. He's bright. He jumped in early, so he showed people that he's got you know, political courage, which is something that's sorely lacking a lot in city politics. So I think for those reasons, he's a good front runner. He's got some good young entrepreneurs behind him, you know, guys like Greg Selko from Karma Loop that I've written about. And but then, you know, you look at someone like Marty Walsh, and Marty Walsh from Dorchester, my neighborhood, state rep, super smart guy, very dedicated, hard worker, BC guy, Kevin. You know, mm-hmm. You know I like them.
Yep.
And, you know, he's got really strong union support. He's been a laborer. He's, you know, climbed scaffolding, much like Steve Lynch. He worked on some of those buildings down there in the seaport. So a guy like him could really connect with a diverse section. Strong support in the minority communities, you know. So everyone's saying, you know, the next mayor is going to be a non-white or non-white male. Well, I'm not so convinced. You know, I don't know if that candidate exists yet. Maybe the next mayor, but in my opinion, those two guys right now are the front runners. If Tito Jackson gets the race, if Felix Arroyo, they're going to be very strong candidates, but they're going to be competing with those two guys I just mentioned that have a, you know, they're not just, I'm the new face in town. They got deep political support that they've been working on for a decade plus.
You know, we know who some of the players are going to be as far as jumping into this race. What are going to be the main issues to be able to be, you know, the next mayor of Boston?
Well, I think, what I touched on a little while ago, I think the schools is number one, you know, and I think, again, middle-class housing, you know. Right now there's all the, you know, there's this real estate boom in Boston, but what are they building? They're building overpriced rental units, you know. And that's great for, you know, young kids that are 25 years old and just got out of, you know, BC or BU or Northeastern, and they got their first job making 50 grand, and they can go blow, you know, $1,700 on rent and go eat at the nice restaurants. They don't have any bills. They don't have any kids. They don't have any mortgages. That's great. But when they get married and find that person and they want to make their life somewhere, where are they going to stay? How are they going to stay in Boston? Jessica and I are going through it right now. We love the city. It's expensive, though. You know, it's very expensive. And to find a place big enough for a family that you can afford and find schools that are good enough, those are the challenges. You know, we want to keep these people. You know, John Conley's kept his family over there in West Roxbury. You got guys like John Tobin, former counselor, you know, he's kept his family over there in West Roxbury, you know. So any candidate that can kind of express how we keep people in their 30s and 40s in the city and make it a great place for them to live, in my opinion, they're the ones that are going to excel. In addition, you need some folks. I think the other big issue is going to be how to make the city more, I don't know what the term is, but just kind of more vibrant and more open-minded, I guess. You know, more like San Francisco or Miami or New York. We're never going to be those cities, but we also don't have to hold on to that old Puritan stereotype where the sidewalks are rolled up at 9 o'clock. You know, there's nothing wrong with having places open 24 hours as long as you've got responsible business owners, you know, and keeping the tea open late, you know. It's not just so people can go get drunk at the clubs. It's for the nurses and doctors working the late shift, you know, the construction workers. The city is 24 hours. Now we need political leaders that recognize that and respect it and do something to make it easier for people. That's what I think.
Okay. Well, I have to ask you, Larry, if you could help me cue up this next question.
It's so outrageous in this time in our country's history.
What would the mayor, what would be the your most favorite soundbite of the mayor? Because we know that there are times if you catch him at the wrong time,
Yep.
Boy, he could be a soundbite waiting to happen. Is it one particular soundbite that he has given to us in the media that you'll forever remember?
Yeah, I mean the one just last year, KJ and Hondo was great talking about KJ and Rondo, and what I love about that one really is that, you know, he just mangled KG's nickname, but the, you know, he clearly had his mind on the old Celtics, thinking of Hondo, you know, John Havlicek, yep. You know, and that's what I love about that one, because it was almost like a Freudian slip. You know, he's been mayor so long and he's seen all these championship teams, and he remembers those teams with Cousy and Havlicek and Bill Russell and all that, and for him to like compare Rondo to Hondo is kind of funny to me, you know. But hey, he's an icon, and those things, you know, people have had a lot of fun with him. My pal Howie Carr and a lot of the radio hosts have had a lot of fun with the mayor over the years, making fun of him, mangling his speech, but we're going to miss him, and he's done a great job.
Dave, that's all the time we got, but we're going to look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks again. How's that sound?
All right, guys, thanks. Take care. Have a great one.
Congrats to you and the missus.
Good night.
If they don't want to, they don't agree with my position, we're going to have to take some legal action. It's a million-dollar contract. It did a great program of tracking our young people. But if this company's going to discriminate against anyone, they're not going to do it on my dime.
First choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. 95.9 WATD FM Marshfield.